Welcome to 2020 Talks, where we track the 2020 elections in uncharted territory.
You know, it's geared to voters that don't like the president, but are historically Republican voters and for whom, you know, it's a big ask to go vote for a Democrat.
Republican operative Tim Miller is an advisor for a new effort that's planning to spend $10 million called Republican Voters Against Trump. They're gathering testimonials from people who identify with the Republican Party, but don't want to vote for the current president this November.
Where Trump might have checked a lot of Republican policy boxes, from a leadership standpoint and a moral leadership standpoint, he just is totally out of step with all the things that we were taught when we became Republicans were supposedly important.
Yesterday, President Trump signed an executive order that would make it so social media companies are liable for the information their users post, breaking from a law that's been in place since 2006. Trump acknowledged the order will likely be challenged in court. This comes on the heels of Twitter fact-checking tweets from the president himself, since Twitter has added warning labels to hundreds of tweets, including one by a spokesperson from China's foreign ministry that claimed the coronavirus originated in the U.S. Law professor Gregory Magarian from Washington University in St. Louis says there's no constitutional argument for the executive order, that it's exactly what the First Amendment says the government may not do.
What we're talking about here is the president of the United States objecting to what he sees in his view as something that goes against his own ideology, his own political position, what he's calling bias against conservative views. And his response to that is to use the power of government to try to suppress the speakers that he is unhappy with.
Psychology professor Lisa Fazio from Vanderbilt University suspects Trump was waiting for an opportunity to make a move like this. She says the label Twitter put on the president's tweets about voting by mail being fraudulent was quite mild.
It didn't say they were false. It didn't take them down. It didn't reduce the distribution. All it said was get the facts. And then if you actually clicked on it, you would see kind of additional articles and tweets that put it in a larger context and showed why the information was wrong.
In addition to misinformation coming from the president, many election officials are concerned about foreign interference. Ohio Secretary of State Frank LaRose, a Republican, is one of them, especially after Russia's social media disinformation campaign in 2016.
Where I'm most alert to that right now is that it's right out of the Russians' playbook, for that matter, the North Koreans and the Iranians and others, to use an existing emergency, such as the one that we're in right now, to exploit existing fears and to sow division.
In an unusual move, the National Security Agency publicly accused the Russian government of trying to hack email servers around the world. It could indicate the agency is being aggressive against foreign interference ahead of the election less than 5 months away. From Pacifica Network and Public News Service, I'm Lily Bolke. Thanks for listening at pacificanetwork.org and publicnewsservice.org.